I don't know what a bond would cost, but a letter of credit is typically 1% of the value of the letter of credit. So it would be in the $5,000 range for a bank letter of credit.
Would Mr. Liberta opine as to whether this would be an impact fee eligible expense? $5,000 for a bond? This is just coming off the top of my head, guys.
Could I ask a quick question?
Alderman Dendry.
A letter of credit by the bank is not 1% of the $500,000. They would want it to be backed up 100%. So he would have to put $500,000 in a bank account, and the bank would hold it. They wouldn't do 1%.
Alderman, the mayor asked what the fee for the letter of credit would be, and the fee is approximately 1%. I've seen them as high as 2, and I've seen them as low as 3/4. When a bank issues a letter of credit, they will look for some surety of payment back to them should the letter of credit be called. That's a different issue, but that's not part of the fee associated with the credit.
You are correct. It is a 1% fee, usually. But a surety bond from an insurance company would be far less than having to put a collateral of $500,000 to back up a letter of credit. So I think that's where the mayor was going.
Yeah. I'm not a letter of credit guy.
No.
Alderman Taylor.
Well, just based on this example here, if you had the money to give to the bank, why the hell wouldn't you just pay the impact fee? So it makes zero sense to do it that way. I mean, if you have $500,000 or $600,000, whatever it is, wouldn't you just pay the impact fees instead of giving it to a bank to hold on to and then pay interest, you know, 1%? That makes zero sense. So the bond way, you know, I think there's, and then I got a question about impact fee. When's that study coming? Speaking of this last 10, item 10, about all the things outstanding, I thought that was supposed to be done like ASAP. So is that coming, the impact fees, so we can make a decision?
Rupert Milkey's continuing to work on it.
Can we get that back here, like, soon? I mean, that we don't want to be, this is not one of those two-year things. Every development that we do in this community, we're not competing with others because our impact fees are way out of whack. And so this should have been a priority over some of the stuff we were just talking about in item 10.
I expect it to be the first quarter.
Okay, back onto this issue. Mr. City Attorney, and then I'm going to continue to pose options.
I was informed of this subject matter a week ago Wednesday morning, and that's after I understand the city treasurer was informed of it last Tuesday afternoon. So I reviewed it and concluded that to me bond means third party primarily, et cetera, and did the statutory searches for definitions, et cetera, and thought, okay, the question here is, what's a bond? How about contacting the city bond council? I understand, I heard that she was out through the Thanksgiving week. So I did contact special counsel at Quarles and Brady, and city bond counsel at Quarles and Brady was also included in the correspondence, sent my research work product. Conclusion by special counsel, with bond counsel being copied on all that information, was basically our firm believes that Wisconsin statute section 66.06.17's reference to a bond means a surety from third-party financial institution, such as a bank, insurance, or bonding company. Furthermore, a surety from the developer or its principal, such as proposed here, would go against the clear intent of the statute, which is allowed deferral of the fees if the municipality has a surety from someone other than developer guaranteeing payment will be made in the future. So, I did inform counsel for the developer of that conclusion, and also told him that Attorney Buck would be calling him this afternoon. And Attorney Impola asked if I would provide the developer's position from their developer's counsel to the Common Council. I said, please send me an email stating that, and I will read it into the record. So, substance of his correspondence from 5:18 p.m. this afternoon, we'd greatly appreciate it if you and the council would reconsider and allow the bond from Mike. I understand Doug's, that's Attorney Buck, policy arguments, but I do not think the impact fee statute clearly allows an individual bond. The Wisconsin statute below is a good example that the impact fee statute could have specified that a licensed surety company or other financial institution issue the bond. Dash, it did not. The statute below is also evidence that bonds from individual are appropriate in certain cases. Lastly, I did not discuss with Doug, but my understanding is that the impact fees would be a priority lien on the property, parent, which is not mortgaged, close parent, if unpaid, since the Performance Center property alone is worth double the total impact fees. That should provide additional comfort to the city that the fees will be paid when due. And then he cites section 344.36 bond as proof of the Wisconsin statutes, and he does note that it's an example, but obviously not in the same subject matter. And Chapter 344 is basically relating to proof of financial responsibility for motor vehicle owners and operators, and it's akin to when there's violations and such, and court requirements provide for financial security to be maintained, et cetera, proof of insurance and the like. So that's the developer's position, and you heard from the city treasurer and what special counsel and bond counsel thought. So it's up to the Common Council.
So 500 grand, the developer, I assume and understand that has that money wrapped up in the note that he's using to pay for the building. So here again, it's a chicken or the egg situation. I always try to look for halfway. And I'm wondering if there's a financial instrument that would not be terribly expensive that would cover this for a short period of time until the financing gets finished. The financing is finished. I understand the financing's finished, and this is part of it, but he doesn't have the money, can't get the money until he's got the building permit. Can't get the building permit without the impact fees. So it's chicken or the egg. But we need direction from the Common Council, because this is a policy thing. So would one of the two of you give us an opportunity to make a decision on an A or a B creatively? Staff is recommending denial of personal letter, personal guarantee. Is that correct?
Yes.
You're recommending a letter of credit?
The state statute says that the letter of credit is an acceptable form of payment. That's in conflict with our ordinances, but it's certainly a bank's letter of credit is an acceptable form of payment.
But as Alderman Taylor understands, as do I, it's, and Alderman Dandrea, it's not a viable option for the borrower, because it ties up the cash that he needs to do what he needs to do. So so then the issue comes down to what other surety is there that we could negotiate with the developer that makes good financial sense?
If the Common Council so chose, you could issue a building permit with the impact fee due a short period of time thereafter, and then the developer, as you describe, could take that building permit to their financial institution, secure their financing, and then have the funds necessary to pay the impact fee.
Alderman Dendry.
So, Council, can we draft a promissory note on that pretext?
Mr. City Attorney.
Well, letter of credit, it follows, or in the statute, it's a bond or letter of credit, and that's essentially developer choice. What I'm understanding the treasurer as suggesting is essentially a same-in-time exchange where out there in the hypothetical world, the treasurer and the building and director of inspection services walk with the developer into developer's bank, and here is the building permit handed over to the developer, and then the bank hands the money to the developer, and the developer hands the money to the treasurer. I don't know if that's possible in the real world, and I've had zero communications other than a brief phone call with Attorney Impola today on the subject.
Clearly, this is an unusual request and is an atypical method of issuing a building permit.
Well, my only concern on it is it essentially going to be concurrent? Then it's even a non-issue under city code, where it shall be paid in full at time of permit.
Two checks from the bank, one for building permit, or one for the loan, and then one for the impact fees. Two closing documents, another $200,000 in expense, but is there?
But the response might be that's not possible. So the alternative, based on special counsel and bond counsel and staff review, is that developer provide a bond from third-party financial institution. Or the ultimate third alternative, and there's room for debate on the availability of this, and I raise that, but it's whether the council chose to expressly approve, in effect, the waiver of Quarles and Brady reading of the statute and allow for the bond executed by the developer. So there's two additional alternatives.
Yeah, this concept of a three-way transaction, I think, is probably undoable, but the concept of a short period of time to make that happen might be more reasonable. In other words, provide a building permit that expires within 10 days if the impact fees aren't paid.
Or you can't break ground.
Days.
You need a building permit, you can't break ground.
Yeah.
This is like a contingent building?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
I wasn't expecting they were going to sit.
Alderman Wilhelm, turn your mic on, please.
I guess I wasn't expecting they were going to try to all accomplish in one day, so I kind of like the idea that you do that, 10-day period or whatever. Would that work, Paul?
As the city attorney mentioned, and as I said earlier, this is a highly unusual transaction,
right,
because
right.
Typically these fees are paid at the time the building permit is issued.
Mm-hmm.
The risk the city takes is that the permit has been issued and the developer has a valid building permit but hasn't yet paid those impact fees, and for whatever reason is unable to pay those impact fees. They can continue to build.
Well, that's why they were talking about 10-day contingency. You get this building permit, you have 10 days to come up with this payment, and if you don't, the building permit's not valid.
I think at that point in time, you're asking a financial institution to say, will they accept that conditional building permit as a sufficient documentation for their multi-million dollar loan to build the building?
Mr. Banker, former banker. Attorney Micah. Thank you.
I can see where the bank would probably not like a 10-day limitation on a building permit. Okay, because there are many delays that could happen to this point, and I'm looking at where we are today, the number of guarantees that Mr. Zimmerman already has with us, as well as the number of guarantees that Mr. Zimmerman has with a multitude of other financial institutions, because they all ask for personal guarantees. So the dilution of personal guarantees becomes almost a non-speaking point. I mean, it's so diluted that by the time you would be able to enforce that personal guarantee, there's nothing there, guys, okay? As a city, is he ready to go on these two buildings, Paul, if we were to get these building permits issued?
I don't know that. Planning or inspection may, but I don't know that.
The answer is no. Close, but no. He's still got to bring the Mosh or the Lux building to us for site plan changes.
So yeah, nothing's hit plan yet. City Attorney, you mentioned a bond by the developer. You're basically saying a personal guarantee by the developer then, correct, by that comment?
Right, and I read it. That's the Foley and Lardner position on behalf of the developer.